Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
All right, so here's my guys, Los Straitjackets. This is the band that performs with Mexican wrestling masks on. They've been around forever.
I've seen them, but yeah. I didn't know what they did.
You know, they used to be on Conan O'Brien's show a lot.
That's where.
A long time. And they're really, really good musicians. And they did a couple of Christmas records. So we will sprinkle some Los Straitjackets and some other Christmas bumper music in here as we get closer to the holiday. We have Sue's News coming up here. Also, Keith Kellogg, retired general. He wrote the book War by Other Means, a general in the Trump White House, thoughts on Pearl Harbor and on the current threats. China and Russia, of course, President Biden had a call with Putin today, Vladimir Putin. So we'll have
Sorry, did you say Pooty Poot?
Isn't that what Bush called? Remember the joke about Pooty Bush
poot.
Calling Pooty
oh,
Poot?
Yeah.
Ah, Pooty Poot. Charlie Brennan, you remember that. He's jumped on in here in the FM side from down at KMOX. Remember Pooty Poot? Wasn't that kind of a nickname thing for a while? Was that just an SNL bit? Because it could have just been an SNL bit.
I don't recall it specifically, but that doesn't mean it didn't occur or happen.
Well, Charlie has written several New York Times bestsellers, and the latest one is Only in St. Louis, The Most Incredible, Strange, and Inspiring Tales, and it's just a compilation of some really cool stories. This has been out, though, for a little while. You put it out earlier this year?
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, the star of the book is on page 14.
I have, like, one little nugget
well,
in here.
Well, this is almost too incredible, but it's true that when Mark Reardon was taking his son, Evan, in 2012 to get his learner's permit, Mark was pulled over by a uniformed representative of the local law enforcement jurisdiction for traveling in an unsafe manner.
It was the first speeding ticket I had got. I mean, I remember, it was my son's fault. I think I explained it at the time.
I'm sorry.
Well, let me explain the facts, Sue.
Throw more people under the bus.
1997, the year that he was born, this was the day, Dave, I remember this. Sometimes you remember things. I was watching the Breeders' Cup in Chicago with my mom and dad. I lived in Milwaukee at the time. But it was also the day of the Nebraska, the game where we did the kicker. They kicked the ball in the end zone. Remember that? What do they call that game? Do they have a name for that? You know, it's like the fifth down game.
Right.
So I'm driving back through Kenosha, Wisconsin, actually. That's where I was going through. Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin, south of Milwaukee. I got pulled over. Evan was screaming in the back seat. So I was like, I want to get home. And the trooper came up, and I'm like, my son is saying, he didn't care. He gave me a ticket. That was the last speeding ticket I got I was taking him. He lived with his mom in Barnhart, so I went and picked him up on that day. And there was a little bit of a
Long story.
Well, because I'm making excuses, Sue, because it was a bit of a speed trap. They took us through construction, and then all of a sudden, I remember this because I drove by and I saw a bunch of cars from St. Louis County, it was Jeffco down there. And I'm like, oh, they must have a substation over there. No, there was no substation. They were just lined up, ready to pull people over for speeding.
Imperial, Missouri, correct?
It wasn't Imperial, yeah.
Well, that's in an entry, folks, next to John Collins Muhammad, a member of the esteemed St. Louis Board of Aldermen, who in January of 2020 had a press conference up on Natural Bridge Road. And this was at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, the press conference where he was decrying the speeding of all the drivers and how unsafe Natural Bridge was. And then at 2 o'clock that afternoon, he was pulled over on Natural Bridge Road by the police officers for driving in excess of the speed limit.
Was he ever in Wisconsin? Was there a story with a screaming child?
Is my son to blame? Well,
difference
is
John Collins Muhammad didn't blame it on anybody.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That's a new tag.
I try to blame on other people as much as I possibly can. But
right.
This is in a section of the book that is called "Do as I Say, Not as I Do." Right?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
You know, Charlie, what's funny about that? When I told that, Fred, I don't know if you remember, I told that story on KMOX, and I suppose I expected empathy.
What?
Oh my God, people. Listeners beat the living crap on me because I think as I remember it, I did shoot a little attitude to the cop because
what?
No,
I have not had a ticket in 20 years. Can I maybe get a warning? And he, you know, so I thought it was I really did think it was an unfair ticket, but the listeners let me have it.
Were you speeding?
Yeah. Technically I was speeding, right?
Yeah.
But it was entrapment. That's what I would say.
Do you remember how
entrapment.
Much over you were going?
It wasn't even that much, dude.
Lock them up. Lock them up.
Whatever.
Anyway,
I think I got the ticket fixed. So.
Of course
you
did.
You had to pay Jane a couple $100 for that one, I think.
You know, it was just a little bit too early because today you would drive like that in the city of St. Louis. You wouldn't get pulled over.
Exactly.
You don't get pulled over for anything.
Not much. No.
Dave, I can neither confirm nor deny whether I've blown through red lights downtown because I'm so sick and tired of sitting at a red light and there's nobody coming through in any direction.
Yeah. You're
there's,
the one.
There's stop signs now.
It always happens. I'm sitting there and somebody will just start off and go
through. Oh, I do it too.
Done it a few times, but there are times where this is ridiculous, right? So anyway. So the book, though, covers a lot more than just my traffic indiscretion, doesn't it, Charlie?
It does. It has a lot of strange and weird stories. Some of them are very inspiring. We hope so anyway, at the back of the book, where people came from really, you know, meager backgrounds, and then they became great things like NFL Hall of Famers and more.
Oh, that's nice. That's really cool. Are you signing these in places throughout the
Funny you should mention that. Yeah, because on Saturday, I'm going to be at Main Street Books in St. Charles, and that's at 1 o'clock, and then at the Fenton Barnes & Noble, Sunday at noon.
Oh, we may have to crash that climb. That's like right down the block. I need to do a little shopping at Old Navy, which is right next. I got my Old Navy cash for my daughter, so maybe we come and crash that and heckle on Sunday afternoon.
Get the family and friends special, for sure.
One of my favorite stories in the book is the world's smartest person is from St. Louis.
What?
Well, it's true.
That's another chapter of Mark Reardon, actually.
Marilyn Beau Savant. She went to, I believe, Merrimack Community College and then transferred to WashU. And she now, the smartest person in the world, according to IQ tests, is writing a column for Parade Magazine.
Oh, that's really interesting. How do you research this, Charlie?
You know, just like you guys, reading the newspaper and talking to people, reading books for 33 years in this town, I collect these crazy stories and put them in a folder, and then during the pandemic, I just whipped them out and put them together in book form.
That's really
cool. He did send me an email, and I granted permission. I'm still waiting on the royalties. How does that work exactly? Do those just get sent or automatically deposited? I can't remember.
It's mostly just real respect that you have earned.
You know, by the way, I don't. This is a personal question, but you can't even make money writing a book these days, can you? You're just doing this for...
Well,
St. Louis, aren't you?
It's just for the city. Yeah, I'm doing this for the love of the children. No, you know, I think you should write your book, Mark.
Everybody else seems to write a book.
Write it for them.
Yeah,
good point, Fred. That's
Fred
a really big folder. That'd be
that nom de plume.
A lot of trash
Fred
talk
could
around
be my
here.
Nom de plume, right? Well, I don't think I can write a book. I'm about anything. Nor would I really want to. Well, I don't have the patience for that. I would definitely hire someone to write it for me. That's fine.
We can title it "It's Not My Fault" by Mark Reardon.
People,
and Fred Bottomer.
People I've thrown under the train.
Hey, you guys are noodling on some good titles, so write these down
because
those are all possibilities. All right, Charlie Brennan, do you have a website for this as well?
Well, there is charliebrennan.com, and you can always go to amazon.com. All self-respecting bookstores, plus Petals Patio and Garden in Ladue, Pratzel's Deli, Old Town Donuts in Cottleville and Florissant. They've got it marked down for like $10. You buy the book and you get a free dozen donuts, so it's a real good deal.
What is John? Are you watching Get Back?
Not yet.
All right, so
this
is on the back of the book. I don't know the answer to this. What is John Lennon's imagined connection to St. Louis?
Well, he told Rolling Stone, I think David Sheff of the Rolling Stone magazine, that Dick Gregory, the St. Louis poet and activist and civil rights activist, gave him a book of poems And he and Yoko Ono turned that into the song Imagine.
Well, that would make sense. Just philosophically, I can see how that would happen. All right, Charlie, thank you very much. If you want to hang here, we're doing Sue's News, and I think I pressed the wrong thing. Dave, you're going to have to fix that because I don't know why I did that. Let's do this instead.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
There you go.
Well, today, of course, is the 80th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And I do have some Pearl Harbor facts for you. Their goal, by the way, the Japanese, was to destroy our Pacific Fleet. And it's reported that the Japanese Navy Air Service sent 353 aircraft to attack Pearl Harbor. Now, these aircrafts included fighters, level and dive bombers, and torpedo bombers, and they were sent out to attack in two separate shifts. Now, the Pearl Harbor mission was led with aircrafts, but there were also heavy cruisers, there were battleships, there were submarines. When I read this morning, I thought, you know, when I think of Pearl Harbor, I mainly think of air attacks. But no, there were submarines out there as well. And our naval base had 19 U.S. Navy ships and 8 U.S. naval battleships at Pearl Harbor, all of which were attacked, 4 sunk, and 2,403 Americans died in the attack. Mm. We have some sound from an actual veteran from that day.
Yeah, I mentioned, especially the first time I was on the memorial, there were a lot of veterans that were there with their photo albums, with their scrapbooks. The second time I was there 10 years ago, there really wasn't much of that. And now you don't have many people like David Russell, who's 101 years old.
I went topside. By the time I get topside, the ship was almost ready to capsize. The wind was blowing that fire towards the Maryland and the Oklahoma, and I didn't want to get in that water. So by the time as I was going over, where the two ships are riveted together, I just made a big leap and I caught a hold of a line that was hanging over the side of the Maryland, and I hoisted myself aboard the Maryland. When I got aboard the Maryland, they had an anti-aircraft there, and it's called a 1.1. And so I had someone give me a few instructions on how to handle ammunition, so I passed ammunition during the Pearl Harbor attack.
Yeah, and I sit here and bitch about red lights and, you know, traffic tickets.
That
sort of sums it up. I mean, the sacrifices, what they went through, is just really amazing. You know, we had, remember Fred, Bob Berenson, who became a good friend of the program. He was in World War II and there at Normandy, and he did a great interview with me several years. He passed away a couple of years ago, but just some of the things that they went through, just pulling up like on Normandy Beach, seeing bodies floating everywhere. As if that's not going to haunt you for the rest of your life, right?
Mark Cox has an uncle, or had an uncle, who was there. Do you know anybody, Charlie, who was in Pearl Harbor? Relatives or stories in the family?
My dad actually served there after. You know, he was like a lot of Americans who signed up after this. In fact, you know, Jack Buck, of course, was living in Lakewood, Ohio, and working at a restaurant in either Lakewood or Rocky River when he got the news that Pearl Harbor was bombed. And in his book, That's a Winner, the first thing he said was, what the blank is Pearl Harbor?
Right.
Had never heard of it.
Right, yeah.
Wow. There was a nice story out today. There were about 300 people who helped, obviously, these veterans involved in Pearl Harbor 80 years ago. It's really getting down to some slim numbers. And they helped a 101-year-old Navy vet make it to the big remembrance ceremony in Hawaii today. And his name was Ira Schraub Jr. He was on a ship in the harbor when the bombs hit, and they had to have two caregivers go with him to Hawaii. Wow. And since his family couldn't afford it, they did a GoFundMe campaign, and people donated over $15,000 to get him there.
Oh, that's nice.
Cool. Isn't that awesome?
Very nice.
And that was just not the best weather when he got there. Kauai's going through all that crazy stuff. But, yeah, they got him there, and I just like that story from today. I have several other stories. I think I'll do this when Charlie isn't here. It might be too much for him. Okay. DocuSign, the electronic signature company that changed the world for real estate agents among other fields, dropped 40% stock-wise last Friday just because we're all back at work.
So Dave Simons was on with me on Friday night talking about the stock market, and he mentioned that one.
It's interesting. Well, real estate agents, it's changed everybody's life.
But the question I asked to Dave was, how does I've used DocuSign, mm-hmm. right? How do they make money? He says ads. So you have ads with DocuSign. Do you know?
Oh, you know what? I don't actually know how they make money. Well, you know what? As a company, a real estate company, for instance, would pay for the service.
Like a licensing
right.
fee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then they sell your personal information.
Do
right.
they?
Only
don't
kidding.
Say
only
that,
kidding.
Charlotte.
Only kidding.
No, they do not. So, you know, there's a lot of companies that are normalizing now that we're coming out of it. But I hadn't realized that DocuSign was affected. And finally today in Sue's News, today's random fact, and this takes some music. The original lyrics of Rupert Holmes' Escape, the Pina Colada song.
If you like pina coladas, get caught.
Oh, I played this song, I don't even know how many times on music radio in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Rupert Holmes.
Okay, instead, the original lyrics were, if you like Humphrey Bogart and getting caught in the rain. Play it again, let's see.
I'm the love that you've looked for.
It's got to be the chorus.
Write to me and escape.
Well, one of the fun things about watching Get Back, the Beatles documentary, is you see them workshopping these songs that have become legendary, and they're messing with lyrics. I mean, well, a lot of times they're humming along to the melody. Paul is trying to figure out what lyrics to put in there.
Is it not common knowledge, or is it urban myth that Yesterday was originally Scrambled Eggs?
Yeah.
I've heard
what?
That before.
But
yes.
Scrambled Eggs, not in the sense that it was going to be the name of the song, but
right.
that's, they were
putting in words.
Right.
Yeah.
They were not sure sometimes what they were going to use.
Must be the same. If you like Humphrey Bogart, not if you like pina coladas, if you like Humphrey Bogart and getting caught in the rain.
Well, that one probably, that might have
right?
been something they tried
sure.
and then somebody came up with something different. There you go. Charlie Brennan, thanks for dropping by. Only in St. Louis is the name of the book, and you can see him this weekend in St. Charles and out at Fenton at the Barnes & Noble. Good to see you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mark.
I think I'll go out with this here, Sue, as we go into traffic, if I can somehow get rid of the other music and not mess it up.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I sit here with my iPad every day, Dave Klein, as you know, and I I don't even know why it does what it does, but there's little things that pop up from time to time, and I just got one of the weather alerts that said flurries starting in a few minutes. It's 29 degrees, by the way. The low down to 24, but aren't we getting to 70 degrees on Friday again?
Yeah, typical it's really strange winter. Weather recently. Only in St. Louis.
Look, I've lived here for a long time, and I've remember days in December that were approaching 80, you know, certainly in the 70s. And I guess we're not going to complain about temperatures zipping up to 70, 67 degrees for later in the week. And I think next week as well. It is Pearl Harbor Day 80 years ago today. And then we have strange things happening on the other side of the planet, in particular with Russia. We are joined this afternoon by General Keith Kellogg, retired author of War by Other Means, a general in the Trump White House. He was with us a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months back. I'm losing track of time, General Kellogg. How are you this afternoon?
Mark, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Fantastic. Let's first reflect. You know, I saw a piece by someone this morning that said, you know, because I remember growing up, I'm 56, almost 57 years old, didn't really have a concept in the 1970s of what Pearl Harbor was really about. But I remember the slogan, "Remember Pearl Harbor." And at this point, I think someone raised the question, "Remember Pearl Harbor, but are we? Are we? I mean, I know we're doing it today, but overall, I worry about this in terms of 9/11 slipping, you know, past and not really learning the lessons of all of that."
Yeah, you know, Mark, first of all, you know, it's a very special day today. When you sit back and remember what happened and the great heroic efforts of that whole generation that came out of World War II, and which all started on 7 December. You know, it's funny. The reason why it's a little bit different for me remembering it is, when I was working in the White House, and my office was right next to the Secretary of State's office at the time, and that's when Admiral Nomura came in, was supposed to come in and deliver the message early that, you know, they were breaking off diplomatic relations. And every time I would walk to my office, I'd go right by that office, and I would think about December 7th every single day because it was really real for me there. And I'd been to Pearl Harbor once before and went to the Arizona Memorial, and still seeing the oil come up from the Arizona, you know, it made it pretty real. But here's the issue, and I think you brought up a good point, Mark, is what we really need to take from that, besides the heroism of the day, is that we better be prepared at all times, that this can occur at any time from any direction. And, you know, people need to also remember, not only was Pearl Harbor attacked that day, but it was a simultaneous attack because the Philippines were attacked. Our U.S. forces in the Philippines were attacked on the same day, and it was attacked out of nowhere. And we need to be very resolute and very determined and very aware that this kind of thing can happen in today's world, especially with the advent of new and more powerful weapons that we see, like the hypersonics. And so I think it's one of the lessons we ought to take, the real lessons, is we'd better be prepared for any type of contingency to protect our homeland, because the next time it could be even more devastating with the kind of weapons that are out there in the world today.
Along those lines, I read an op-ed piece today by someone who said we have not learned, or we have unlearned, the lessons of Pearl Harbor, and that a similar pattern of failure persists here despite the funding that the U.S. intelligence community receives. Do you have questions along those lines with whether or not we're doing everything we need to do to make sure that things like this are at least prepared for?
Well, you know, it's a great question, because I think it's a way of looking at it. And what I mean by way of looking at it, today I was talking to somebody, and I had to put my national security advisor hat on. I said, you know, you got to think grand strategy, and how we operate in the world, and how do we work with our allies and adversaries? How does it affect the United States first? And instead of looking out for the whole world and trying to protect the whole world, is how do we make sure we are protected and we are doing the right things? And I think that's the lesson we're missing, is that right now we're kind of being, you know, the best of all worlds. We're trying to help everybody out. And we're not really focusing on what's more important and what is most important to the people of the United States of America. And I'm seeing that on a daily basis, even as currently as today, with what we're talking about with Russia, Ukraine, and of course, the other two big crises we have going on right now, which happens to be, you know, China with Taiwan, and also the Iran nuclear deal, with those discussions. I mean, we got three significant crises going on at the same time, and we ought to step back and say, okay, what does this mean to us? What are our vital interests, and how should we operate in that environment?
So can you, because I'm just going to tell you, although I'm pretty good at pleading ignorance on a lot of things, can you explain the Russia and the Ukraine situation, the buildup, and why that's something that they might do and the implications geopolitically?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the, I was on a news call today, and I told somebody, I said, you know, we make a huge mistake, and we always look at things from our lens. And as a national security guy, I was always made sure, when I talked to the president or the vice president, I said, you know, I look at it from the other lens, from the other side as well. I said, you know, there was a great Chinese military philosopher, Sun Tzu, said, you know, if you understand yourself and understand your opponent, you will win all your battles. If you only understand yourself and never your opponent, you're going to win about 50% of the time. If you don't understand either, you're going to lose all the time. I said, sometimes you have to come, sit back and say, why are they doing this? What is their issue from their lens? And when you look at what Putin does, whether you like it or not, he's reacting to the fact that he's totally encircled. You know, all of his Warsaw Pact buddies are gone, or they're now part of NATO, and he's being encircled, and he doesn't like it at all. And he looks at himself as a very different character in life. He's been through four presidents. He looks at himself as a new Peter the Great, who was the big expansionist czar of Russia. And potentially he's going to be there until 2037 because he's been able to change the constitution of Russia that he can run for two more six-year terms. So he looks at himself as protecting Mother Russia, and Ukraine is part of that, where he says, now you've surrounded me, you're going to put potential offensive weapons into Ukraine if they become part of NATO, and that's my red line. They can't become part of NATO. And if they become part of NATO, then I'm going to invade. So there's a reason why he's doing this, and we ought to sit back and say, hey, I kind of understand that. Ukraine is a sovereign nation. If we can cut a deal, and I use that maybe kind of loosely, but what you make sure is you make sure that, okay, that make sure Ukraine remains a sovereign nation. We don't have to bring them into NATO. Oh, by the way, we need to pivot to our greatest adversary right now, which happens to be China. Every time we seem to be looking towards China, something moves us away from looking at China. And China is going to be our biggest existential threat going forward. I mean, both economically, militarily, geographically, they're there. Look, I used to tell people, you know, look at Russia's economy. Russia happens to be Belgium with nuclear weapons. I mean, they're not that strong. And we should stop fixating on the Russians and look to something that's going to really challenge us in the Pacific and the Atlantic as well, and that's going to be Russia. I mean,
China.
Chinese.
Yeah, well, let me circle back on that. I know you make a strong case for that, and I want to follow up in a second, but let me ask this question. If Russia, this is Tony Blinken says last week, if Russia pursues confrontation, the theory, I guess, would be militarily that they're building up the troop presence. Maybe something happens, not imminently, but in the spring of next year. And Blinken says, well, there'll be serious consequences. What are those? What can consequences become in a situation like this?
Well, see, but that's diplo speak.
Right,
and what
right.
I mean, it doesn't mean anything because Ukraine is not a NATO partner. Because they're not a NATO partner, Article 5, an attack on one is an attack on all, does not apply. So I'd have to say, okay, Tony, let me get this right. So if Russia attacks into Ukraine, we're going to go to war?
Yeah, right. They're not right? You
know, no, we're not. And I know we're not going to do that. But he's already played the game against us. And the same team that was there, Tony Blinken was there, Joe Biden was vice president, in 2014 when Russia took
Crimea. Yeah, the last time this happened,
We did nothing, and we're not going to do anything again. And I said, why don't you just, and my point as a national security guy, okay, split the difference, guys. Try to make some harmony here. Take that one threat off the table, and can you just focus on the emergent threat that you see out there? You know, the debt to us from the Russians, there's a $30 billion debt difference between us and Russia. There's over a $300 billion debt difference between us and the Chinese. I mean, that's what we owe the Chinese. I mean, and when you look at their military growth, their growth in space, what they're doing geographically, economically, militarily. Look, there was a report just yesterday. They're building a military base on the western side of Africa. That means they are now going to put naval forces into the Atlantic, not just the Pacific. I said, you know, if you keep pushing the Russians, what you're going to have is you're going to have combined Russian and Chinese fleets floating around the Atlantic and the Pacific. How's that for an option?
Well, you know, I asked that question, General Kellogg, a few minutes ago. Are we doing enough to prepare for surprise attacks? Hell, it doesn't sound like we're doing enough to prepare for attacks that are sort of potentially obvious in front of us right now. You've written about this, and I think you referenced the hypersonic missile test, which is something that most of the media aren't covering. This is a missile that can travel 2 miles per second, right?
Yeah, it travels at the lowest travel travels at Mach 5, up to Mach 9. That means it's, and I tell people, think about that. You just stand there and look at something and say, go 1,001. That means that missile's just gone 2 miles. And we have no defense for it. And right now, the Russians and the Chinese have operational hypersonic missile batteries. Our missile is still in research and development, because what happened is the Obama administration cut all funding for it. We put $3 billion into it. But it takes a while to get to that capacity and capability. And we're still a year and a half away from having an operational missile. Look, not only that, in space, the Chinese landed on the dark side of the moon. We've never done that. No nation's done that. And they're putting anti-satellite systems up in space. So are the Russians. But the Chinese are the major threat. I keep telling people, look, keep your focus on where it needs to be. You know, focus on your primary enemy, and everything else will take care of itself. And that should be on China. But if every effort we make in looking at away from China, say the Middle East, or even Russia, we're diffusing and diluting our efforts against our prime antagonist.
You know, but here's what's confusing. I think you're right, General, but I hear a lot of talk about China from even Senator Hawley here in Missouri and others. I don't hear a lot about these issues with China, though, the military issues. I mean, that seems, even for Republican members of Congress, I don't hear a lot of that. Am I missing it, or would you agree?
Yeah, you are. Well, not you are, but they are, because, look, they're building up a presence. They're building up their armament presence out there. You know, they're already building up a better a submarine capacity. It's just a matter of time till they build up a capacity that not only did they become a regional power, but a global power as well. And here's how they look at it. They look at it a lot like the Russians do. You know, we look at 2 years or 4 years. They look at long term. You know, we're talking about a country that goes back to 200 or more BC. And, you know, and they look at this game as a long game. Their leadership is authoritarian, but long serving. It looks like President Xi is going to get another 5-year term. That means he'll be in office for 15 years at the least. If Putin stays in power in Russia, that means they'll have a leader that will have been there well over 45 years. So they look at this thing as a long game. Both of those countries do. But the Chinese are more, because I think the Chinese are much more aggressive. And they do this thing called debt diplomacy out there. You know, I'll give you a good example. Look at the Panama Canal. You know, the Panama Canal is actually controlled on both the Pacific and the Atlantic end by the Chinese, because they've built all the warehousing and the control of the canal, because they bought into this thing through debt diplomacy, and they basically control it. We used to own the Panama Canal.
Right. We've
before. And then you have, if you
That's
don't
amazing.
Start,
I don't think I knew that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I tell people, go online and just look at it and see what they say. And see what the Chinese presence in the Panama Canal zone. So allows them to create more and more mischief throughout the world. And one thing about the United States is we sometimes do not think strategically, or we don't think beyond the end of our nose. And I think that's a problem.
That is a problem. There's no doubt about it. General Kellogg, fascinating conversation. Unfortunately, I'm up against the clock here and have to move on. The book, of course, is called War by Other Means, A General in the Trump White House, General Keith Kellogg. Always great to have you back. I really appreciate it on Pearl Harbor Day in particular.
Thanks, Mark.
You know, Sue, Jane is back with us just for a couple of minutes because she posted something yesterday that I thought was fascinating. We're going to get to that. But I have a question for you along the lines of what I just heard Mark Cox talking about. So my friend in Vegas just sent me some information. You know, Adele is doing a residency, Jane, and you're a fan, right?
Right, yeah.
So they are requiring, and this is becoming somewhat common, not only do you have to be vaccinated, but you also have to take a test within 48 hours, a negative test, just to see Adele. I mean, come on, really?
Wow! It's getting out of hand.
Why get vaccinated? You gotta get the test anyway, right? Well, you don't get vaccinated, so you can't give it to. Well, no, you can give it to other people. Look, I've been the biggest supporter of making the right decisions and, you know, moving through this thing in a positive way. But we're just doing stupid stuff right now. There's no doubt about it. But you raised a great question yesterday. This ties in, Sue. I think you'll appreciate this too. Jane's question was wondering how St. Louis County's $100,000 a year vaccine coordinator, former Councilman Rochelle Walton Gray, is doing. That's a good question, because we haven't heard anything from her, right? She was an appointment. She's making six figures.
Yep.
What the hell is she doing? Do we know?
No. No one's heard hide nor hair of this woman. She's the vaccine coordinator. And it's funny because Sam Page doesn't talk about vaccines. All he cares about are masks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's all he cares about over and over and over again. And it's like, well, I thought vaccines were where we were going with this, boosters, whatnot. We still have, you know, below normal rates of vaccinations here. And she, you know, I think she's done a Facebook post or two about vaccines.
Yeah, what exactly? Maybe I want to know what's the job description for the vet? Because, look, this may sound like something you can pin on Sam Page and have fun with on social media, but this is a pretty serious question. We're paying a lot of money for someone to do what? Right?
Oh, no, there was never really a job description. No one's seen a job description.
Oh, my.
Because the job description was you need to vote past your term to make sure that Lisa Clancy stays chair. That was her job description,
well,
and she
true.
Did it.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So is there any kind of recourse for Fitch and Harder to do anything on this? Or
well, I mean, I suspect that budgetarily, I'm sure they're going to be, you know, cutting fat within the budget, which is what they have to do. So, and then we found out earlier this week that, you know, Deloitte came in and to look at all the, you know, this proposed ARPA spending, which is all the relief money, and Sam Page had built like $70 to $90 million of that money to, you know, to shore up the budget. Well, come to find out that the stuff he was doing would not be approved by federal regulations. So now they got to figure that all out. So the budget, you know, was based on false assumptions. And so now the council's like, well, all this is embedded in the budget. So now we have to back everything out because it's not been done properly. And so they're going to have to figure this all out with the budget.
All right.
I think the idea that the budget's going to be done on time is not going to happen.
All right. So then there's this. I see that this is in our local paper again today with the headline. It's like deja vu. This is Groundhog Day. St. Louis County expected to take up mask mandate Tuesday. Actually, I had to look at the date of the story. I'm like, what, again? They're doing it again?
Yeah, but he also says there's one already in place.
I know.
This is what makes me furious with, like, especially like the Post-Dispatch. I mean, a couple of the outlets in Piney asked him the question, hey, dude, why are you voting on a new one if this one's already in place?
Very good question. Right.
And there's no answer.
Yeah.
No, there's no answer. And so there's a court hearing this week with Attorney General Schmidt. So they have to be able to go to court and say, oh, we got an order, because they know what the judge is going to say. The judge is going to say, you can't do it. And so they, you know, they want to get something else in place in the hopes that they'll have something when the judge comes down and says, you know, we've been through this, you know, you can't do this. And so it's very frustrating because it's not legal. Lisa Clancy knows it. Sam Page knows it. You know, the council knows it. And it's just frustrating. I mean, so, yes,
wow.
You're going to keep seeing that. I guess we're going to do one every week now.
Well, you raised, you know, the point, the takeaway for me from this entire chat, and I'm out of time here, is when I bring up the vaccines and the vaccine coordinator, your response is, yeah, they don't talk about vaccines. That's exactly, that's obvious, but I didn't really think about that, because you never hear Sam Page talking about that.
Never. Never, because
on,
it's all
Duker.
An embarrassment, and the $2 million PR contract.
Keep
Don't
on him, Duker.
That.
Keep coming over to Go my
Jan,
side politically, like baby steps over to becoming a conservative, Jan. I'm very proud of you. It's awesome.
Oh,
see you later. See you later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.